We're going to Glasgow now, Lorraine Harbison.
We certainly are. We have a special guest on the line. First of the big political hitters to join us live, Ruth Davidson, Scottish Conservative leader. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Lorraine. I don't think I've ever been described as that before. Thank you very much.
You're a big hitter.
You're a big political hitter. You're the leader of the Scottish Conservative Party.
Yes, I am.
So there you go. How are you feeling?
Do you know what? I mean, I think the results that have come in, with all the usual caveats, there's smaller local authority areas, a couple of them, like Shetland and Orkney, the No campaign was expected to win. But places like Clackmannanshire, places like the Western Isles, yes, really had to take them if they were going to take the evening, and that just hasn't happened for them.
I mean, I can tell you that Colin Mackay, our political editor, has called it already. He's calling it in favour of your campaign, for the No campaign. He's quite confident that Yes has lost.
Well, we're also hearing, you know, big figures from within the SNP former leadership, people like Ben Wilson, are also calling it for the No campaign as well. You know, I think that that's perhaps premature, although all the indicators are that it could be slightly wider gap and slightly wider margin than the pollsters had it for us.
So what happened, Ruth, do you think?
Well, first of all, I mean, I don't think the pollsters have had a very good campaign. One of the issues that they had, people that do polling, they always kind of weight the results. They never just ask 1,000 people and then tell you what 1,000 people see. What they do is they take 1,000 people and then they try and add different weights to what these results. So they break them up by gender and age and where you live and, mm-hmm. and how much you earn and all that sort of stuff. And the way things work for elections is they always pin it back to previous elections. Now, the problem with a referendum is we've never had a referendum like this before in Scotland in the recent past. Nothing on the Constitution. So it had nothing to peg it to, and most of them pegged it to the 2011 Scottish election. Mm-hmm. And that was quite a difficult election in Scotland, and it wasn't like any other we'd had before. The SNP got something like 45% of the vote, and that meant that the Yes side got an awful lot of weighting that they didn't otherwise have. So, you know, just a couple of months ago, we had a European election, the SNP got less than 30% of the vote. So there was always going to be some friction between what the polls said and what actually happened on the night. Now, I don't think that was bad for our campaign. I think when you saw that big YouGov poll that put them one percentage point on 51% and us on 49%, you know, I think that gave everyone a big kick up the backside on the No side, and I think that was probably the best thing that happened to us in this campaign.
Do you think that you would still have been at this stage where we are right now? Because it was 20 percentage points ahead at one point. Has this said to No voters or potential No voters, you're going to have to turn up on the day or you could lose this?
Well, I mean, we always knew that the polls were going to tighten. You know, even when this was announced, you know, 2.5 years ago.
20 years ago would have been way too much, Ruth.
It's been an awful, awful long night, Robin, and it's only still going. I'm going to still be on air by 12 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, so please forgive me. You know, 2.5 years ago, I mean, we knew that the polls were going to tighten because there were so many undecideds and we didn't know which way they'd go, because it kind of started off about a third of people were dead in the Yes camp and they were never shifting, and a third of the people were dead in the No camp and they were never shifting, and then a third of the people were kind of undecided or swithering one way or the other. So we always knew it was going to narrow hugely over that period.
Who's in your opinion, take that Conservative hat off for just a second and be honest with us here, who has had the best campaign?
Do you know, on the other side, on the Yes campaign, I think Nicola Sturgeon's done well. I think Patrick Harvey's done well. I think on our side, I think people like...
So you don't think Alex Salmond's done well?
Well, to be honest, I don't particularly like when he
Alex
comes
Salmond?
On air. Thanks for putting words in my mouth, but I'm not going to take that bait, Robin. I'm too long in the tooth for that. But you know, when he comes on air and starts blaming people in advance, and he starts sort of saying that the BBC are biased and that it's an outrage that this has happened, you know, I just don't think he's been very gracious.
But they have had the media, they've had the English media against them. Everybody has been against them.
I actually don't see that analysis at all. What I see is the job of journalists is to ask questions and to put propositions under scrutiny. And if your propositions don't stand up to scrutiny, then it's the job of a journalist to say that.
But there's been all this stuff. I mean, I've heard countless BBC journalists and other journalists based in London saying, you know, referring to them up there and us down here. That doesn't help, really, does it?
Well, to be honest, I think that's probably more likely to push people to yes rather than work against Alex Salmond. But I think if we're asking about who's had a good campaign, genuinely, on their side, I think Nicola's come out of this very well. She's done the heavy lifting in terms of the debates for them and a lot of going out and doing the public face of the campaign. I think Patrick Harvey's done very well. And I think on our side, I think people like Jim Murphy with his tour has done well. I think Kezia Dugdale has done well. And I think in the last couple of weeks particularly, we've seen an absolutely revitalised Gordon Brown. And I don't think anyone would have expected that out of this campaign.
Would he not have been better than Alistair Darling from the word go?
Well, I have to say, I mean, if you think about when this all kicked off, I mean, this was over 2 years ago. Gordon Brown was pretty bruised when he stopped being Prime Minister. And I think he needed that period of time to be out of frontline politics to come back to it. And I think, I know when people talk about Alistair Darling and they look at, for example, the second debate where he didn't do as well as in the first debate, and he got a lot of criticism for that. Do you know, I was looking at that and I was watching it on telly, I was going, come on Alistair, say this or say that or whatever. And I was talking to a colleague afterwards and they were saying, do you know, we could have put this person up or this person. I was like, do you know what, he maybe didn't do as well in that single debate as he had done in previous or otherwise, and maybe another person would have done better in that debate. But see, for 2.5 years of running a campaign, of absorbing pressure, of putting people to task. Mm. I mean, he had to do all of the day-to-day media as well. Every time there was a story broke, he had to be the guy to respond to it. Yeah. And he did that. And taking all that pressure, it let people like me and Joanne Lamont and Willie Rennie and you know, Jim Murphy and Douglas Alexander and people like that, it let us go out and run the campaigns that we wanted to run, because he was shoveling all of the things that I'm not allowed to say on air.
But Ruth, any time I've spoken to anybody,
it's early in the morning, you get away with it.
Yeah, but my mum brought me up right, Robin.
Of course, I know that.
Any time I've spoken to anybody from the Better Together campaign, Ruth, they've been always confident. You know, we have seen the polls, we have seen our own private polling. We know we're going to win. At any point, did you think, oh God, this is not going our way? Were you? How genuinely worried were you?
I mean, genuinely, this isn't false bravado, but we were doing 80,000 individual voter contacts a week. So we were talking to real people during the, you know, every week. And these polls are samples of about 1,000 and just over 1,000 people. So we were doing 80 times the amount of contacts that they were doing. Yeah. So we knew that our data was good, and we also knew that the weightings that they were doing wasn't quite accurate. And, and pollsters, Scottish politics is funny, and oftentimes the pollsters don't get Scotland quite right, because we have a slightly different political system to the areas where, particularly the UK-wide polls, they're used to working, not least because we've got a four-party system in Scotland, which they don't have down south. Yeah. So we were always pretty confident in our numbers, and we knew that if the people that said they were going to vote no went out and did it, we would be okay.
Okay. Ruth, pleasure having you on.
Thanks very much for having me.
You read the news on my breakfast radio show.
Oh, I've got a bulletin just coming in. Do you want me to go for it?
I'm sorry, my allegiance is with Lorraine Harbison nowadays.
Well, do you know, she's much better looking than me. I always had a face for radio, so I'll let you guys get on with
Ruth,
it.
Thanks for speaking to us.
You too. Bye-bye.
That's Ruth Davidson, the Scottish Tory leader, talking to us live there from Glasgow.